Welcome to This Is Money podcast in partnership with NS&I. I'm your host, Georgie Frost, and alongside editor Simon Lambert and I today is assistant editor Lee Boyce for our fifth, yes, our fifth annual Christmas taste test. We have been going for that long. But for a very special treat this year, mainly for my neighbours, I haven't stunk out my home boiling pots of sprouts. No, Lee has gifted me a break and taken up the mantle himself. Well done, Lee. So whenever you feel appropriate, you jump in, you hit us with your budget, your upmarket offerings, and we will pick our favourites. But this isn't going to be sort of us munching through festive goodies, don't worry. And we will be visited by three ghosts. Now bear with me on this one. The ghost of Christmas past, we look at what's gone wrong on the high street in 2018. The ghost of Christmas present, presents, why you should think twice about giving gift cards, and the ghost, I appreciate I'm scraping the barrel somewhat here, but the ghost of Christmas future, how you can give your friends and family a gift that will last through 2019 by avoiding the loyalty penalty. Plus, we have a bonus Christmas money quiz, as in it's a quiz about Christmas and money, as in you don't actually win any money. It'll be fun nonetheless, though, Lee. Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest breaking money news. Just go to thisismoney.co.uk or download the app.
This Is Money, brought to you in partnership with NS&I. For a gift your little ones will appreciate even when they're not so little. Give them premium bonds at nsandi.com.
But before we get cracking, Lee, thank you very much. My neighbours, my family, thank you very much for not stinking out the apartment block with, I mean, tons of Brussels sprouts. Every year I've done it. I've not done it this year. What have you got for us?
You are more than welcome, Georgie. I thought about you slaving away, boiling those Brussels and remembering which Brussels was from which supermarket. and then last year, I mean, it got to the point where I made my own DIY Brussels sprout crisp for you to try. And
that's
I thought,
true.
Wow, this has gone absolutely too far. So this year, Georgie, we've got an exciting taste test for you and Simon.
Is it because you got fed up with the Brussels sprouts and the fake turkey ham?
And may I just point out that in the spirit of Brexit this year, there are no Brussels.
Yes.
Oh, very, very good, Simon.
Just
here we go.
Gifted people comments on the section now. You do realise that.
that is superb.
Okay.
So what I've done, I have bought 10 food items, 5 from an upmarket supermarket, 5 from a budget supermarket. Mm-hmm. We have crisps, we have mince pies, we have a dessert, we have some sweet treats, and we have the all-important booze. What you and Simon have to do is taste each one, and each item has a bit of a twist and has a bit of a Christmas theme. So you get a point for everything that you taste you get correct. So for instance, the flavour of crisps, you need to tell me what flavour they are. You have to have a guess of whether it's upmarket or from a budget supermarket, and you'll get a point for each one of those. And at the end, you have to tell me which supermarket you think I picked for the upmarket and for the budget, and you get 2 points if you get it correct.
Okay.
It's going to be magical podcast listening.
I don't doubt. I'm a little bit nervous, though, after last year's Brussels sprouts sort of soggy, crisp effort. But, Lee, I trust you. Is that milk?
There may be some tricks.
Might be
milk, but it's not.
Your eyebrows just wiggled then. All right, well, before we get cracking on that, so Lee, do feel free when you're ready just to jump in when you feel it's appropriate, perhaps to do different courses. It's up to you, Lee. We'll just get cracking on some of the stories. So the first ghost to visit us, it's not just for Christmas. It stalked the high street throughout 2018. Restaurants, pubs, fashion stores, estate agents, electrical outlets, cycle shops were among the 24,000 closures in the first half of the year. Now, it's been blamed on rising business rates and wages, slowing spending, and a change in consumer habits, spending less on stuff, more on experiences, and the increasing amount that we're spending on the internet. Oh, and of course, the weather. That also played a part too. But then this week we got the news that the trouble offline has appeared to spread online, with ASOS shares sliding almost 40%, Boohoo also in double digit falls. Brilliant for bargain hunters, it seems. More sales than I've seen at any time. But we have got some better November retail figures. So what is going on? What is the more general picture? Can we blame Brexit? Simon, what is going on? What have you made of the year on the high street first?
It's been another tough year on the high street. And that's compounding the misery, because last year was a tough year on the high street, and the year before was a tough year on the high street as well.
But how much tougher, though? I mean, if it is sort of a general theme that's running through.
How much tougher? Well, I think a special mention needs to go to a certain Mr. Mike Ashley, who told us that November was the worst month ever. Absolutely abysmal.
And there were number crunches that suggested that might not have been the absolute...
There were number crunches that suggested that, but there was also a lot of retailers saying that November was pretty bad. And then we had these bizarre ONS retail figures that came out that suggested that November was okay.
Yeah, exactly.
However, they were followed up by consumer confidence figures today showing that consumer confidence has fallen to minus 14, the lowest level since July 2013, and expectations for the economy sunk to the lowest level since December 2011. So consumer confidence isn't doing too well either. And I must admit that those retail figures that came out had the retailers scratching their heads and saying, hang on a minute.
It didn't really fit with the general picture, did it?
It doesn't fit with the general picture that's been painted. You can say it's the move to online. You can say it's people's changing shopping habits. You can say it's, oh, people are spending more money on experiences. Whatever you want to say it is, it's not good news for the high street. And it's also not looking great online. And I think we are now at the point where people are starting to not do things because of this Brexit uncertainty. So people who might be thinking, fancy a new sofa, are delaying buying a new sofa. People who are thinking, might go splash out on a new some new clothes, new wardrobe, they're thinking, maybe I'll hold off on that. And the thing is, you don't need that many people to do it. It's not like all of the people who are going to buy a sofa aren't buying a sofa, or all of the people who are going to go out and buy some clothes aren't buying some clothes, or spending money on a new washing machine, or all those kinds of things, or just treating themselves in smaller ways. You just need a relatively small number of people to do it, particularly when the high street spending is fragile, for it to make a big difference.
It's also a bit of a knock-on effect, Lee. You know, shares sliding at ASOS there, and then, of course, that then knocks on to other retailers. If one reduces their prices in the sale, then, of course, the other one has to keep up. So, actually, they're sort of digging their own grave a little bit.
That's exactly what's going on, Georgie. And actually, I remember writing something. I'd written a column about 3 or 4 years ago, and I warned that Black Friday and the rise of these sort of longer and longer sales are shooting retailers in the foot. Because what happens now is that there's certain shops, and I'm talking from personal experience here, I know at certain points of the year that the store, everything in store is 50% off. So I'll go in there that one day of the year
Gap.
When everything's 50. Yeah,
I'll never forget you said that. I quote
I won't
you.
Ever, I won't ever go in Gap ever again until it's 50% off again. And that's just me. So
it's not
I
just
imagine,
Gap, it's other stores.
And there's other stores that are doing it. And now sales are going on for longer and longer and longer. And it's getting to a point, I believe, in which consumers are going into shops and think, I don't ever want to pay full price. Why should I pay full price? And then, as you say, you get one or two discounting, and then another one or two, you have to feel like they need to discount to get people in. And I think another big reason, you know, what's been going on, especially ahead of Christmas, I would say, I think we've just kind of reached peak stuff a little bit. I think we're becoming a little bit more self-aware about our throwaway culture, buying clothes that we might not wear as much, and just to be binned and taken to those, you know, big metal bins in car parks and things. I genuinely think there's a little bit of this. I'll give you another example. So most of my family members this year, I've got quite a big family, nieces and nephews, and most of them have just said to me, just money. Yeah, even my sister. And I know it's not the magic of Christmas where you're not getting a thoughtful gift, but as my sister said to me, you know, she's got a 1-year-old daughter, my niece, and she said, our house is cluttered. We've got so much stuff. She's got so many clothes. She's got so many toys. She needs nothing else. We've got a savings account open for her. Is it okay if you just put a little bit of money into that savings account? And you know what? I think that's all I'm going to do for birthdays and Christmases for my nieces and nephews in the future, because if they need something, it's likely that the parents have got it, or they've already got it, and they don't want duplicate items. They don't want more and more and more. And it's not just, I'm not just talking about children. I think adults as well. Do we need anything this Christmas, really? Okay, you could argue, well, is it about needing something, or is it about getting something that you truly wanted? I just think in this run-up to Christmas, I think people have just got fed up with those novelty gifts and all of those sort of daft things that people buy, and just going,
it's just
a waste of money, and it's just cluttering up homes. And I think, I'm not saying that is absolutely to blame for perhaps a bit of a slowdown coming up to Christmas, but it feeds into that. And I definitely think this whole, you know, all of these sales all the time, Black Friday, which is now turning into more like Black Month, And then you've got like a week or two before Christmas.
But even
and
Black then Friday this year, sales, wasn't the stats sales. This year showing that actually a lot of people have turned their backs, certainly yeah. the retailers as well as
because,
consumers?
Because it's a load of nonsense. And that's why.
I wonder if it's what you said about people believing sales. I mean, I keep getting these emails going, it's 20% off today, you must buy. And then the next day they'll go, we've decided to extend our sale. Of course you blooming well have.
Exactly that, Georgie. And I just think now shops have honestly shot themselves in the foot. And as you rightly say, it's not just high street retailers this year. Some of the online companies are having to quite heavily discount. You know, we've had ASOS has been a sort of stock market darling. It's been a very popular, you know, company. And it announced really quite bad, you know, trading results for the last couple of months. So even Primark, I mean, Primark is, you know, so popular. You go into the Primark any time of the year and you can hardly get in. I mean, it's people just absolutely snapping up the whole shop, which again feeds into this whole, you know, throwaway culture a little bit because Primark is so cheap for clothing. But even it said it hadn't had a particularly strong couple of months. So there's some warning signs here, Georgie. And don't forget, 2018 has been a year in which we've seen shops such as Toys R Us, House of Fraser, Maplin, Palmworld all going under. Could next year... I believe the writing is going to be on the wall for quite a number of companies, and my hunch is that a really big name is going to go next year. I haven't got an inkling as to who, but I think that let's think back to Woolworths. You know, that was huge when that closed down. There was so many stores, staff. But I still think Woolworths was a step up from
the
that.
Year before.
BHS, I think there's going to be a real. I don't know why. There's something. There's just a lot of issues going on and around the high street, and I think it's a dangerous year next year for online retailers as well.
Well, actually, we've been hearing that it is the smaller ones that have been doing well in all this, and it's the bigger ones that are perhaps the most vulnerable. But drilling down a little bit more in what you've just said, Lee, and you've been focusing quite heavily on clothing, and understandably so, but this does impact, as you rightly said, across the board. And, you know, we could think of lots of different reasons why people aren't going out and spending, but Simon, as you rightly pointed out, be that as it may, it's impacted on the high street, and also remember restaurants. So I can't really understand this idea that we're going out and spending more on experiences like restaurants when they are also suffering. But again, you've got to look at the individual stores. With all that in mind, though, we have a lot of noise from the government and we have a lot of pressure. Mike Ashley is one of them, calling on the government to do more, to spend more on reinvigorating the high street. But really, is creative destructionism the kind of the right word to use? Let's see it fall and see what rises from the ashes, as it were. Clearly, there's no point propping up something that we don't really want to use.
No, that's true. And you shouldn't necessarily expect these businesses to last forever. Companies do go bust. There are plenty of names from years gone by that have vanished. I think that what we have to remember is that when with a lot of these retailers and the restaurant chains as well that we've seen get into trouble, it's the debt. They get loaded up with debt, often by private equity owners. Trading takes a bit of a downturn and they struggle to meet the repayments, or there's covenants on the loan that they fall the wrong side of and they're told they have to suddenly pay some money back, or they have to try and raise some money from investors and they can't do it. That's the thing that often sinks them. And with those restaurant chains, the burger chains are the classic example. Lee said peak stuff earlier. I think we reached peak burger. Yeah. The idea with these chains is basically they get a concept and then they just roll it out. And because it's the private equity firms, the venture capitalists, they just roll it out as quickly as possible. They're trying to just get maximum outlets out there on every high street. Eventually there comes a point where they've expanded too much and there's only so many posh burger chains that you need. Yeah. What could we do to help the high street? One thing is probably spend some money on the actual high streets. So in many towns, if you go into the town centre, it looks a bit drab, it looks a bit sad. Councils are suffering, they don't have any money. The government could try and pump some money into the councils to try and help our ailing high streets. And they could make it easier for people to park.
Yeah.
Although the councils tell you that's not an issue, if you ask the shopkeepers, they point out it is.
Simon, are you as pessimistic perhaps as Lee for 2019, just briefly?
No, I think we're going to see a Brexit bounce. Yeah, if we don't get the chaotic no-deal exit, I think that we'll see a bit of an uplift. In theory, we should be doing all right at the moment. We've got inflation coming down, 2.3% this week. Probably going to fall below the 2% target sooner than expected. Wages are going up. The wage rises were more than 3% in the last figures. Interest rates are a bit higher.
Wages going up, not necessarily good for retailers,
unemployment is at a record low. No, it's not been good for them, but all of those people who are being paid by retailers are shoppers themselves, mm-hmm. so it's meant to be a virtuous circle. So in theory, things should be better than they are.
That's a spirit, Simon.
Let's hope that it turns out that they are.
Fantastic. OK, before we get into what we're actually buying on the high street, one thing specifically, that is gift cards. Lee, you've put in front of us bowls of crisps. So
yes.
I think now seems a good time to pause and start munching noisily into our microphones. Just to describe here, can I just say we've got one bowl here which is looks like gold stars on the crisp, and the other one that looks like...
They do have gold stars on them.
It's not drunk a lot of water. And it's very, very orange.
I think that's a fair assessment of what has been put in front of you. So what I need you guys to do is try the crisps. You've got to tell me what flavour you think each is and which one you think is from an upmarket and which one's from a budget.
Who does this rather orange-looking crisp in this shape remind you of?
A Donald Trump crisp.
It's a Donald Trump crisp.
I don't know how you see that, but all right.
That is brilliant. Okay. How's that going down, Georgie? What have you gone for, the sparkly
crisp? I was trying to turn our mics down so that...
Oh, no, you want the crisp. You want the crunch. Into
all right.
It. People want to be able to visualise
that
crunch.
It's quite powerful. Might need a little bit of water.
Powerful flavours. That's good. That's what you want from a crisp. There's nothing worse than the crisp that hasn't been coated in the flavouring.
I actually think that Donald Trump crisp was pretty good. It might be making crisps great again.
Oh, making crisps great again. Nice, Simon. You are on fire today. Oh, that looks a little bit...
What the heck is that?
Oh, my word.
Oh, okay. These are not going down so well.
The star crisps. Controversial.
Star crisps. There's nothing that says Christmas.
It tastes like a pineapple.
Like a smattering of gold on some crisps.
It tastes...
Can I just add, they're not DIY, by the way. These were bought from a shop. I didn't sit around putting glitter on crisps. Okay, Georgie.
Right.
Crisp one.
Yeah.
What flavour do you think it was?
I'd say... Can I try another one?
Yep,
Simon. Go to Simon first.
Crisp one. Savoury.
That's not a flavour of crisps.
Some form of meat star flavour, I think. No, it's not roast beef. It's not powerful enough for roast beef.
Oh, this is...
Sage, ham and...
This is crisp connoisseur,
something hammy.
Simon.
Chicken...
Pigs
turkey
in blanket. Pigs in blanket.
Right.
Turkey and pigs in blanket.
No, I'll say turkey and stuffing.
Turkey and stuffing. Okay.
It's a good job I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, I should have probably checked before doing the taste test.
Never mind.
But hey, it's too late now. Second crisp, Simon. Glittery crisp.
Taste of pineapple.
Pineapple crisp. Interesting.
Ham and pineapple.
Ham and pineapple. Okay.
I'll say...
Georgie?
Oh, my God.
Nope, God's not a flavour of crisp.
I reckon it's like a... Raspberry Bellini flavour.
Ooh, interesting.
Or cranberry and Prosecco.
That sounds like a really bad Apprentice episode where they make like the most awful tasting product that they could possibly do. All right, and quickly, which one do you think was upmarket and budget? Simon, one, was it upmarket or budget?
I think the one that I said might be turkey and pigs in blankets was the better crisp, but I think it was budget. And
okay.
I think one I said was ham and pineapple was posh.
Posh.
It's got a really nasty aftertaste as well, that and the star ones.
Are you going the same
Simon's
as Simon?
Still cracking on. No, I'm going to go the absolute opposite.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. All right, well, that's the first part of the taste test done.
Are you going to give us the answers at the end?
I'll give the answers at the end,
yes,
and I shall tally up your scores as
I go
along.
You can have those back, actually.
Yep. God, they're awful.
Aren't they just disgusting? Anyway, right, talking about retail and all that, you can understand why Lee, given that we're having so many failures, why he might have some reservations about what has become a very staple Christmas present. Deemed better than cold hard cash for some reason, gift cards are the easy option. You can grab them in your supermarket for a range of retailers. You don't even have to go into the stores themselves. But Lee, you don't just think it's quite annoying. You actually think it's a pretty bad buy. You're not being an old Scrooge, are you?
No, I'm not being an old Scrooge, Georgie. I mean, £6 billion worth of these are out there. I mean, that's an incredible sum of money. Now, I understand the logic of a gift card for Christmas because it's not always easy to buy for certain people. And sometimes you run out of time and you think, well, gift card, at least they can go into the shop and buy something that they want to buy. But there's five reasons why I think gift cards are actually a redundant thing. And I think people should just stop getting in the habit of buying them and putting them into cards. And again, let me reiterate, this is not me being the Grinch, but it is a little bit. The first one is if you get a gift card for a certain retailer, a restaurant or whatever it may be, it could go under. And then you're at the bottom of the pile, of that debt pile, when you try and get your money back. Oh, it's the people that got a gift card. You know, you're never going to be at the top of the pile to get your money back through an administration. Okay, that might sound like a little bit, like it might be a bit far-fetched, but it's not really. People would have had gift cards for House of Fraser. They would have had gift cards for Toys R Us. They would have had gift cards for shops that have gone under in the past. And who knows what might be around the corner for a retailer. And it might go bust, and then you just got that redundant money. Okay, you didn't personally, the person receiving the gift, pay out, so it probably doesn't really bother them too much. But it's pretty annoying if you forked out on a gift card for someone and it goes unspent. My second point is the goods might be cheaper elsewhere that you're looking for. So I've got a great example of this. We were given a gift card, which is absolutely lovely. It was completely unexpected and completely marvellous that, you know, someone given that as a gift for our newborn. But the shop that we were given it for, A, has had rumblings about it potentially going under, so I panicked, went straight there and spent them. And I will add on things that we needed, but we were walking around the shop and there was two or three things that we needed, and I'm looking and exact model, same thing that we needed, cheaper elsewhere, cheaper in John Lewis, which is a 2-minute walk away in Chelmsford High Street. And it's that kind of trade-off. If £30 cheaper in John Lewis, but we've got the gift cards, so do we just use them? It's that kind of like dilemma, and it's a bit of a frustrating dilemma as a financial journalist, because you don't want to pay over the odds for something, but you also don't want vouchers to go redundant. And of course, they can go missing and they can expire pretty easily. There's some companies put an expiry date of 12 months onto these gift cards. It's easy to forget about them, put them in a drawer and just completely they go unspent. And a good example of that, I've done this more than once, has been given a voucher for an experience day. So to go and do an experience, you know, whether like a test track day or something along those lines. And you've got 12 months to use it. And then you go to book it. And then there's no dates that you can actually use it on because you need to do it on a Tuesday morning, which is like the most inconvenient time on planet Earth. And then you just end up going, oh, do you know what? It's just too much effort and I won't get around to doing it. I'd love to see the stats of the amount of those gifts that do not get used. And the fourth reason is the environmental impact. Now, that might sound a little bit daft, but you think there's £6 billion worth of these gift cards out there, the amount of plastic. People spend them in a shop. They don't get put into a special bin. True. They just get thrown in the bin. Yeah. You know, just go in a bin. Okay. It's not like huge amounts of plastic. But if you think about everyone that's had a gift card, say you've had a couple of gift cards each throughout a year and you've spent it and then it's gone into a bin and into landfill, it's not good, is it? I mean,
no, I agree with you. You can get them online.
You can,
online
but mostly
sort of
at Christmas, they're those sort of impulse buys when you're at a supermarket and you go, oh, look, there's a voucher, so-and-so likes that, so let's get that. And lastly, and the most important thing, is cash is just better. You know, so it's so much more flexible than a gift card. Yeah, okay, you might say, well, there's been no thought put into that, but
it's not about the thought. It just is something a bit, I don't know, am I wrong in saying, un-British about giving
cash? Well, why? Because that money could be
cash?
That money could be
it can
used
be
for
really
such better
useful
things than in a shop that you might not necessarily
want
something from.
It seems so transactional. There's no
but it's so transactional. A gift card is exactly the same thing. It's just cash, but in a really concentrated, narrow-minded, that's the only shop you can use it in. Why would you want that? I'd rather just have 50 quid cash that I can go and put in my child savings account or, you know, anything else for a restaurant. Okay, well, here's 50 quid to go and put towards a meal.
How about buy a little, I don't know, go into a charity shop, buy a little trinket box or like a house, say, for example, a little mini one or something, and you can put the money inside
too
and wrap
much
a
stuff
bow.
No, just all right. Clutter. Clutter, stick it in an envelope. Envelope can go in the bin and be recycled. Money's there. Spend it on what you want. Gift cards.
Merry Christmas, Lee. Merry Christmas, Simon.
I think the cash thing is fine. My grandmother always used to give me some cash kind of thing. Go spend it on something. But you've got to be careful to go spend that money on something for yourself. Or do what Lee said, put it into a savings account, very sensible. Rather than just allowing it to sort of seep into your general everyday spending. And I know, obviously, ultimately, you might end up spending some of your other money on yourself. But I think that it's good to compartmentalise it. Gift cards, yeah, I'm not really a fan. The one thing I would say, though, is if you're buying people experiences, there's a lot of that, you know, things like driving days and stuff that people get bought. And that's quite a big present for people. And there's a lot of choice as to where you would do those kind of things. One thing to watch out for when you're buying them for people is how long do they have to book it? And can they extend that and what the charges will be if they do? Because that's certainly one thing that people get caught out by when they get bought things like driving days.
All right, well, in front of me now, Lee is putting down festive desserts. And first amongst that is mince pies. Now, one of them looks, let's say, potentially more traditional mince pie. Mm-hmm. It's got a star instead of the pastry that fully covers it. Mm-hmm. And I would like to point out That is the most minuscule amount of mince I've ever seen. That's not a mince pie. That's air pie. So if that's not a budget one without even tasting it, I don't know what is. The other one, I've got to think, looks like a Heston here, right?
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean, it's got its own dictionary definition. It doesn't look like a mince pie. It looks like
a work of art.
Yeah, it does look. All right, so I'm going to go for the air pie. I'm going to try and... Literally, I'm scraping out that any evidence of some sort of fruit in it.
That's not good. Well, to be honest with you, Georgie, mince pies are one of those things in which 66.6% of people don't like. And when I say that...
Is that a Rory Stewart figure there?
That's
Simon
and Lee in the studio with Georgie figure, because neither of us particularly like mince pies. So they are pretty much the work of the devil. I think they are horrible things. But... the mince pies, they've both got a twist. The one with the stars got a twist, and the sort of fancy,
mince in it.
And the fancy one has also got a twist. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell me what flavour you think, or what the twist is on each pie, and which one, again, you think is budget and which one you think is from a posh supermarket.
So hang on. Funny looking fella. It's got some almond on the top. And maybe a bit cinnamony. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon and almond. Is that a thing?
Okay. Georgie, what are you thinking about the posh looking one?
I haven't
one?
Tasted the posh one yet.
Oh, haven't you? Okay. No. Well, so what about the other one?
I reckon the other one's plum. Some
plum.
Apple and plum thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't work out what that is. Damson.
Look at that. That's a disgrace. That is if that's not the cheap one, I don't know what is. Hang on a minute.
You're just taking a drinking stopgap.
Honestly, I don't mind a good mince pie. I don't mind a good mince pie. I'm just going to repeat that. I don't mind a good mince pie. I'm not sure this one is. Okay, so now I'm just assuming it's a Heston.
Oh.
It's got chocolate in it.
Oh, it's Georgie busted it out wide open.
Ooh.
Chocolate mince pie.
Ooh. That is... Ooh.
Now, I should add that I made these. No, I didn't really.
Lee.
Yum.
As good as your Brussels sprouts crisps.
Okay, come on, Georgie. What's the twist on that one? What are you thinking?
That tastes like a chocolate-flavoured cherry Bakewell.
A chocolate cherry mince pie. Okay, and Simon, which one do you think is budget and which one do you think is upmarket?
I think that the upmarket one is the funny-looking fella and the budget is the other one.
Same.
Okay.
I have to say, this is sweet to the point of... I feel like I've got a load of Haribo in my mouth. Right, okay, what's up next, Lee?
So, I've also got you some sweet treats that you might have while you're watching your favourite Christmas movie, for example.
Okay.
So you've got some fudge and you've got some other sort of Rice Krispie-esque treat.
Yeah, it looks like a white Rice Krispie cake with some mini marshmallows and what looks like some cranberries in it.
So, I just want you, again, just what do you think the flavour of the fudge is and what do you think the flavour of the...
Are they the same? Is one from budget and one from... or?
Yeah, so
is this the same product?
It's the same product, yeah. Right. I've just given you a little bit more of a taste.
Okay. The funny-looking thing with the marshmallows in it is the kind of thing that if you gave even just one little nibble of this to a child, they would be bouncing off the walls for the next 6 hours. So I think the secret ingredient might be sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
Not so secret.
Yeah, and then they've added some marshmallows and some other stuff for good measure. Ooh. So it's got popcorn in it.
No, that's got some nutmeg. Or is that the Heston?
Has it? Ooh. I don't Has it got know a what bit... that is.
I'm just jotting it all down as you
Got
as
a bit
talk.
Of spice thing.
Spicy thing.
Is that the secret ingredient? Is that what we're trying to find out?
Yeah, what's the flavour? What's your overriding flavour? If you had to close your
ginger.
Eyes...
Ginger!
Okay, excellent.
I bet it's nothing like... Can you taste ginger in that? Or is it... Oh my God, I've still got mince pie stuck
No,
in my
teeth. Simon's onto the fudge now. Mm. Come on, Georgie, keep up with the programme.
All right, mate. Okay.
Okay, fudge, flavour.
Fudge and raisin.
Fudge and raisin.
Orange.
That classic.
Fudge Cranberry and orange.
Cranberry and orange. Great.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to sleep for a week after this.
And you're just saying raisin. Rum and raisin.
I can spill my teeth
rum
like
and raisin,
humming.
Yeah.
Rum and raisin.
That can't be the right answer, because otherwise you just told me the answer.
I've actually completely forgotten, but I've got all the pictures on my phone. So remind me. Okay, so which treat do you think was from upmarket and which one do you think was from budget?
I'm just not sure whether anywhere upmarket would sell this, whatever this object is. But I think that the fudge is the upmarket and the strange object is the budget.
I'm going opposite.
Opposite. Okay.
Just for the crack. All right. Oh, wow. Jeez.
This is Money, brought to you in partnership with NS&I Premium Bonds, giving you the chance every month to win up to £1 million tax-free.
Right, still to come, we've got our Christmas quiz, chaps. Are you excited about that?
Oh,
and some more
Couple of more courses to go.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Anyway, talking the ghost of Christmas future now and offering our loved ones a present that will last a lot longer and be worth a heck of a lot more than a gift card. And that is your time. And more specifically, your time looking through their household bills and helping them to switch to better deals. Now, that is exactly what I will be doing with my dad, because that is how we like to roll this festive period. Now, what really got me started on this was last month I, for various reasons, decided to look at three of his bills. He did ask me to. I didn't just go through his mail. Well, some of it I did, to be fair. And I managed to save him over £550. Now I'm absolutely determined to get my hands on the rest of them. He is not stupid. He is a geophysicist. He's a very smart man. But like so many others, just had no idea of the scale of the loyalty penalty. He thought he might be paying a few quid more and was relatively happy to do so, saving the bother of moving. But he was shocked when he discovered just how much more he was being penalised. So, This Is Money have launched a new campaign while the regulator at the same time looks to be getting pretty tough. So the loyalty penalty, Simon, tell us more.
Loyalty does pay. Many people think it doesn't, but loyalty does pay. Unfortunately, the people it pays for are the companies that sell you things. It certainly doesn't pay for you because they cream in millions of pounds a year from putting up the bills of loyal customers, many of whom have been with them for many years and who don't bother to challenge them or switch or move away. And there are entire departments in large telecoms companies, insurance companies, etc., that are charged with working out how much of this they can milk out of people. It's part of their business model. Now, a super complaint was put in by Citizens Advice earlier this year, looking at various different areas that affect our household bills. And the CMA watchdog, the Competition and Markets Authority, was duty bound to respond to that within 3 months. 3 months from then would have been the 27th of December, I believe. So they decided to get ahead of Christmas and do it then. Now, that came out this week, but we ran this story last week ahead of the CMA report, trying to say to people, do something about this. Mm-hmm. We got some figures from a company called Is My Bill Fair. They call themselves a check and challenge site. You can go on, you can put in how much you were paying, you can see how you compare to other people. Are you paying a fair amount? Are you paying way over the odds? Are you one of the lucky few who are paying well below the average? And then you can get Is My Bill Fair to challenge your bill for you. So they'll contact your provider and say, look, Georgie Frost isn't happy about this. She thinks that she should be paying less than this. And if you don't charge her less, she's going to leave. And the company can decide to try and retain you by offering you a better deal. And anybody who's ever called up Virgin or Sky or their mobile provider or anyone else and said, I'm thinking of leaving, do me a better deal, or their insurance company, mm-hmm. and said, you know that insurance renewal you've given me that's 600 quid? Well, I've just done a comparison and the cheapest company that came up was actually you. If I was a new customer and it's 400 quid, how do you explain that one, Sonny Jim? And they suddenly put your insurance down to 400 quid.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And you can save a lot of money if you do this. So what we are trying to encourage people to do is to get ahead of the CMA actions, because the CMA has told these providers they need to do something about it. But don't hold your breath. Don't expect this to change dramatically. The only way that you are going to be able to do something about the loyalty penalty is by going to the companies and challenging them yourselves. So check what you're paying. Compare this to what new customers get and to rival firms' prices. Demand a better deal. And if you don't get one, or there's a much better deal on offer elsewhere, switch. Three simple steps. If you're savvy, if you're the kind of person listening to this podcast, you've probably done that with some of your bills. It's unlikely you've done that with all of them. I mean, let's face it, I'm the editor of This Is Money, and I've only done it with some of my bills. I certainly haven't done it with all of them, despite the fact we're telling people to do this all the time. But also, this loyalty penalty, the CMA and Citizens Advice found, hits the elderly, hits old customers, the less internet savvy, the vulnerable harder. So at Christmas time, when you are seeing your friends and family, if you've got someone there that you think, you know what, I bet they're paying way over the odds for their energy bill, for their RAC or AA cover, for their car insurance, say to them, that slow point between Christmas and New Year, let's get your bills out, see if we can save you some money. And do you know what? With about an hour's work, you could save them hundreds of pounds. And at this point, I would like to hold up as a shining example, consumer champion and wonderful daughter Georgie Frost, yeah. who saved her dad a packet.
I know, I did. It was strange because it was three different methods that I used. One was just straight up switch. And I said to dad, you know, and this was his gas and electricity bill. I said, look, are you bothered about how much you save? Or are you more bothered about, say, customer service? He said, I just want the cheapest. All right, dad, that's your choice. The other one was BT, and he'd been put on something he didn't understand. He kept being rolled over, etc. So I called them up. That was an hour of fighting with them. That was the first one, but it didn't deter me. No, it spurred me on. And the easiest was the RAC. I mean, his breakdown cover was just out of this world.
I think the RAC and the AA one, and that's just to name two breakdown companies, are the breakdown companies that
will screw you over
yeah. are available. People just don't realise it, do they? They just think, well, this is just the price of being an RAC or an AA member. They don't think that actually people be whacking up the bills all the time. But actually, all it takes is a quick look at their website yeah. or the adverts, such as the one that Lee plucked out of the Metro for me the other day, that show that if you were a new customer, you'd be paying a fraction of the price of what people are being charged. You really do not need to do anything complicated to change your breakdown cover. You just let the old one run out and don't renew it. Go take a new one
that
out at the same
time.
That
was the most grotesque one, because the easiest to sort out. They were auto-renewing him, increasing it from £275 to almost £300. And I just called them up really simply and said, I want him put on a deal that you would offer new customers. And they said, oh, we'll give him 3 months free. No. And they said, OK. And I said, well, what is that deal? £135.
Yeah.
And it was that simple. Call them up 10 minutes later. You don't have to do a thing. The next month, it was installed. Not a problem.
And can I just point out as well, right? I mean, that is a ridiculous amount of money to be paying for breakdown cover. I have got breakdown cover with a company called AutoAid, okay, which used to be that you had to pay the breakdown driver. They got local breakdown drivers out. They used local recovery agents. You had to pay them and then claim the money back yourself. But the last couple of times I've used it, I haven't even had to do that. It covers me. It covers my wife. And it covers us in any car that we are driving. It is not attached to one of our cars. And it's £48.31 a year.
Wow.
So why do you need to be paying the other breakdown companies hundreds of pounds?
Yeah.
Now, they would argue that they offer a much better service and all these things. But I will say one thing about AutoAid. I've had to use them numerous times. I have an old car. Sometimes they tend not to work. And they've been absolutely brilliant. I don't think I've ever thought, do you know what? If I was with the AA or the RAC, somebody would have been here much quicker.
There is a problem with that, because I don't drive. I didn't know what one should be paying for breakdown cover, and I asked Dad whether he was happy with the £135 figure, which compared to the £300, naturally you would say yes. But Ellie, is there a problem with the fact that if you aren't really sure and you have stuck with a company, a very famous company for a long time, and you look on one of the comparison websites and you see, hang on a minute, they're charging me £300, but apparently you can get, and I looked, and you could get stuff for £35. I immediately don't trust the £35. I don't like the £300, but I'm thinking, hang on a minute, how can this possibly be right?
And there is definitely a symptom of that, Georgie, because, and you're right to point that out, and it's not just breakdown cover that entails, that is across all sorts of bills. You look at it, I'm thinking of a good example of that, something like insurance, because you could get, say, travel insurance for a few pounds, and you can get travel insurance and go into hundreds and hundreds of pounds. The likelihood is that it is going to be a differing level of cover. So you need to be making sure that if you are going to pay a cheaper price, that it's worth the paper that it's been bought on. So if you're going to have a certain problem down the line, that you're going to be able to use it or utilise it and not fall foul of any traps that might be, you know, in that terms and conditions of your contract. And the thing is also, it highlights the issue of how long some of these terms and conditions can be. It's very hard to get consumers to read through the whole thing to know what's going on. But I do this like once a year, really. I go on a real bills purge. So for example, I've got my internet with Plusnet, and it's just crept up really slowly in the last 18 months. A couple of quid here, a couple of quid there, and it's gone up to be on £30 a month. And then when I was a new customer, I was paying like £18 a month.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a differing quality of broadband. It's not like my broadband all of a sudden is £12 a month better. It's always been good. I've never had a problem with them. I've never, in fact, I don't even remember it ever cutting out in a few years that I've been with them. But phone them up. Why am I paying this instead of new customer rate? Well, you know, that's a new customer rate. And they'll give you all this spiel. They've got this big churn rate. They factor in a certain percentage of customers will just leave it and just keep letting it roll on. Don't be that statistic. Don't be that person.
No.
Phone them up. Say, why is it I've been a loyal customer for all of these years and my bill's gone up? Match it or I'm off. And that is the thing. That is the power that consumers yield now, especially with the internet age. There is no excuse for sitting around and not knowing your prices or not being able to quote someone on the phone for your own company saying that you're already using, saying, well, I've been quoted this cheaper from this company, match it or I'm off.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised the amount of times that they've got a retention team that will do then anything they can to keep you. Not always necessarily the case, though. I'll give another example. Earlier in the year, I upgraded my phone. I'd had the same phone for a long time. I wanted a phone with a better camera just because the other one was all scratched and it was going out the window. I was with Virgin Mobile, reason being a couple of years before they offered the best deal on this phone. I phoned up. I'd seen this deal via EE. It was way cheaper for the phone that I wanted than it was on Virgin. I told the guy on the phone, he didn't believe the price that I'd been quoted by EE, but I sent it over and went through all this spiel, and they simply turned around and said, we just can't match that. So I ended up moving to EE on the deal I wanted. And don't be afraid to do that. I think people think it's going to be a faff or it's going to be, you know, unnecessary stress and drama swapping providers and doing this, that and the other. If that's the case and that ends up happening, just complain and get some compensation. You have got so many rights these days. There's no excuse to get ripped off.
Absolutely. Can I just take this opportunity, given the fact that we have a podcast and therefore a voice, just to send out a message to Legal and General. Thank you very much for your daily emails that you're sending me to remind me to get my travel insurance with you again for a second year, because I tick the box saying I don't want it to auto-renew. Thank you very much for increasing the price by £20. But that doesn't bother me because I'm not sure I'll go with you. But stop sending me daily emails. Literally daily emails.
They're just thinking about you, Georgie. What about if you end up going away and you've forgotten to renew it because they've told you every day and they hadn't told you
literally
every day?
Literally every day. Every
There's
single day.
There's lots of that though, Georgie. I mean, we are in an age of GDPR, but I have not seen the amount of emails that I get through from companies that I never remember saying it was okay to email me.
Yeah.
Still going on. Anyway, more cheerful news.
Okay.
I've got you. Dessert part two. The last round was more like treats. I was thinking that as more kind of your log fire, watching a bit of Home Alone, a nice little mince pie. You don't like Christmas pudding because, again, it's a pretty awful thing. You don't like some of the desserts. You want something a little bit light. So what I've got you...
Can I just explain what this looks
festive
like?
Festive yogurt,
yeah,
and a festive jelly.
What it really looks like, though, is, you know, at Halloween they have like brains in,
yeah, it's got a bit of a brain
sweets.
Look to it. Yeah it has.
And the smell is really, really pungent.
Is
mean,
it? Oh, that's
wow.
Good to hear.
I'm not
pungent in a good way, Georgie.
In a really, really sweet. My nose is slightly frazzling a little bit. Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean. I just found the brains.
Get it down your throat and let me know what you think it is. Less chatty chatty, more gobble gobble.
Okay, I'd say that is raspberry, pineapple, I can't think of anything festive, clementine or something. And the yogurt is...
Simon, what do you think the jelly is?
That's apple and cinnamon and raisin. Apple and cinnamon.
I think the jelly is tropical Christmas jelly.
Ooh, okay. That classic treat.
Oh my word. That is absolutely horrible, that jelly stuff.
The yogurt nice, eh?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's got apples, sultana, and cinnamon, I reckon.
Okay, that nice. Simon?
I'd be rubbish as a blind tester. I'm going to go with maybe cinnamony. Apple and cinnamon.
That's similar. On the packet. A bit apple-y. Okay, Georgie, which one budget, which one upmarket?
If that jelly is upmarket, then I'm shocked. I'll go, that's got to be budget, the jelly stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Simon?
I'm going downmarket jelly, upmarket yogurt.
Okay, excellent. And last round, we might as well get the booze
in. We may as well get the booze in before the Christmas quiz.
You pass those over. So what I've got here is two, I would say, aperitifs. Maybe this is for... to start your Christmas morning. I do like to start at 9 a.m. with a nice little brandy, or this could be a sort of after dinner drink. So I've got you two kind of festive boozes here. What I need is basically what you think is in each glass. So I'll tell you what, Georgie, last month I bought a bottle of I bought a bottle of Baileys, a whole litre for a tenner. Oh, I've been slowly getting my way through that in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a lovely little night.
You like your Christmas Baileys, do you, boys?
I do like a Christmas Baileys. I do.
My wife likes a Christmas Baileys. She'd probably see that litre bottle off in 2 nights.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is dangerous stuff. But I actually like a Christmas White Russian. That is my thing at this time of year. Sprinkling the cinnamon.
Have you ever had the King's Ginger?
No, that sounds nice, eh?
Right. So the King's Ginger is a liqueur made by Berry Brothers. A ginger-based liqueur. It was invented... by, I believe it was invented for King Edward, so that he could enjoy a warming tipple as he was out driving his new motor car. Basically, it was designed for the king to go drink driving.
That is amazing.
And it's a cracking drink. You can buy it in quite a few of the supermarkets. If you come across a bottle of the King's Ginger, pick it up this Christmas because it's definitely worth a tipple.
Okay, so right, Simon, what have you tried?
Well, that's a caramelly kind of thing, I think.
So the milky one is a caramel.
Caramel.
Yeah, a salted caramel Irish Baileys type drink. Caramel. And I think this is a salted caramel liqueur.
Okay.
Thing.
What do you think the gold one is, Simon? Have you not given that a go yet?
Oh, no, hang on, it's got gold bits in it, or is that just dirt from the glass?
It's from the crisps.
that's interesting. That's a...
Be a big plot twist here if this was a King George, Ginger George, or...
King's Ginger.
If it is Ginger, King's then ginger. Oh, no, that's...
Are you changing your mind, or are you sticking with salted caramel liqueur?
It's definitely not any actual proper drink. It's a concoction.
No, really? I think some liqueur, like Marks and Spencer's did quite a lot of those.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a brandy or something.
Oh, no,
it's
no.
It's not like a caramel brandy.
It does look a bit like brandy. I think your brain could get tricked into it because it looks quite harsh. It almost looks like a whiskey, doesn't it? It's got that kind of... So when you sip it, probably a little bit sort of strange. It's not what your brain thinks it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think they both taste caramelly.
Okay.
But I think one is a caramel cream liqueur. And one is a caramel liqueur.
Right, great. Okay,
it's
which one?
Just what I said a little bit earlier. But
so which one, upmarket, upmarket budget, and then I'll give you the results. So I'll tell you.
Oh, it probably says clear. Salted on the bottle because you can charge an extra couple
upmarket
of pounds.
Upmarket clear.
Upmarket, the gold one, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going opposite of Georgie.
Simon drinking it out of a Petri dish.
Right, well...
Brilliant.
I'm going to say at the end of this taste test, though, just quickly, spoiler alert, you both have been rubbish.
Oh. All right, so we'll get to the end of the results of that. But first, our Christmas quiz. So starting off, what year was A Christmas Carol written by Charles Dickens? Simon?
Ooh. 1872.
Lee?
1860.
I can tell you the answer is 1843. One Ooh. Point to Lee. Forbes compiled a fictional rich list between 2002 and 2013. Before being bumped off the list in 2009, Ebenezer Scrooge was up there in sixth in 2008. But what was his worth given in today's money?
Oh, my word.
This is a lot
is this
of
in
money.
Dollars? Is this in dollars?
It's in pounds.
5 billion.
7 billion.
It is 8 billion. Well done. Oh. I would have said like a couple of million. Well done. Okay.
5 billion and £1. Play that game.
So Scrooged is without a doubt the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And I'd say it's probably in the top three of my best Christmas movies. Chaps, Christmas movie favourite, Lee?
Rocky IV.
Okay, minus 1 point for Lee. Simon?
Home Alone.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan. All right, you get 0 points for both of those. I win because I like...
Rocky IV is a good answer.
It's I think the Muppets Christmas Carol's a pretty good adaptation.
Oh, no, you're going to be losing points here, Simon.
Okay, this is like doing a quiz with Donald Trump.
Georgie Trump.
It's the greatest quiz that ever was. So anyway, how much did Scrooged make at the box office in dollars?
Simon, answer first this time so I can piggyback off him.
19 million.
24 million.
60.3 billion.
Billion?
Million.
It is like doing a quiz with Donald Trump.
Everyone on the planet watched it 10 times in a week.
Hang on. So who got that one? Who was it?
I did.
All right, Lee. We're wicked. Okay. What was number one at the time the movie was released? And I believe it was 88.
What movie? Sorry, I didn't
Kylie hear. And Jason, especially for you.
Oh, what was number one song?
What was the Christmas number one at the time?
Wham, Last Christmas.
It was Mistletoe and Wine, Cliff Richard.
Oh,
solid.
How much does he get in royalties for that record every Christmas, Lee?
I don't think it's as popular as it once was, probably 5 to 10 years ago. But I did hear it on the radio last night for the first time. And I had my newborn baby in my arms and I was rocking to Cliff Richard and she loved it.
Aww.
And I'm going to say, I don't actually think that it's going to be that high. I'm going to say £200,000.
Simon?
That was what I was going to say. So I'm going to say £250,000.
Lee, you're closest. It was £100,000. Which song gets the most, though, in royalties each year for Christmas? And how much? Simon?
Well, I would say White Christmas.
OK, how much?
A lot. £5 million.
Mariah Carey, All I Want Is for Christmas Is You, and I'm going to say £350,000.
You're good on the money there, Lee. It's 500,000, but it's Merry Christmas, Everybody, Slade. Another point for Lee.
They
come on, Simon.
White Christmas in that. That's right. Why. That's why.
Yeah. We're on to our spending habits. According to the Bank of England, the value of online shopping has more than doubled in just 5 years. For every £10 we spend, how much is spent online, Lee?
£3.86.
Simon?
£2.70.
It's £2, nearly £2. Right. According to the Bank of England, we spend on average £2,000 a month. How much extra do we spend in the run-up to Christmas? Simon?
We spend £2,000 a month. How much extra do we spend on the run-up to Christmas? Per person? £400.
£550.
It's £500. Lee, well done. But what do we spend more on during the December month than any other month? Clothing, books, toiletries, food or alcohol?
Books.
Food.
Lee is right. Lee is storming this sunshine. I should point out that the winner, or maybe the loser, gets a book that was closest to my desk. The Unexpected MP, Think Alan Clark Diaries on Crack. So that's what the loser gets.
Best book description ever.
So there is a prize in this, Simon. Don't worry. So the Rubik's Cube has been named one of the all-time Christmas toys. When did it first go on general sale to the public?
1965.
81.
80 it was. Well done, Simon. And how many have been sold? What is the figure given at?
Worldwide. Yep. Oh, 300 million.
Ooh, that's a lot of Rubik's Cubes. 60 million.
350 million.
Wow.
Lee, well done.
He's much better at this than
I. Okay, two more to go. No sign of a Santa Claus rally this year. Is that about right, Simon?
Yes, I mean...
You don't get extra points for that, but...
He's only got one day left.
There you go. Also, it's known as the December effect, but the phenomenon was first recorded by Yale Hirsch in his Stock Trader's Almanac in which year?
Oh, 1957.
Lee?
1957 and a half.
Lee's correct, 1972. I want to give Simon a quick point there. And Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without travel disruption on the railways. This year, Network Rail has announced their festive schedule as a result of vital upgrades. At the cost of how much, Lee?
800 million.
Simon?
400 million.
Just over the festive period, 148 million. So it got a little bit closer towards the end there. But Lee, congratulations.
Thanks,
you
George.
Are the Christmas quiz winner. You are also the taste test winner for sorting that out. Thank you very much. My teeth will never forgive you. They won't be the same. Simon, you, I'm afraid, are the loser on this. But you win Confessions of a Political Gossip, an Unexpected MP, the quote on the back from Lord Bruce Dollington, all politicians have feet of clay, most are wankers. I'm quoting there.
Quote. Unquote.
And the result of the taste test, Lee.
Oh, well, like, I'm going to tell you now, you didn't do well. Just a fact. So, crisps.
Yeah.
We had. Simon got the taste right. They were pigs in blanket crisps.
Right.
So, well done. You said turkey and stuffing, Georgia, which is incorrect. The crisps that tasted a bit pineapple-y, as Simon said, ham and pineapple. You said raspberry Bellini. They were actually winter berries and sparkling Prosecco.
I'm sure I said Prosecco and raspberry at some
stage. You said raspberry Bellini. Simon was correct.
Bellini got Prosecco in it, though.
So, it does not, Georgie. No, it does not. And Simon was also correct. Pigs and blankets were budget. You said the other way around.
Okay.
So Simon is ahead 3-0 in that first part of the test.
3-0. Wow.
In the treats part, Georgie, you really surpassed yourself in this area. So the fudge was cranberry and clementine fudge.
That'll do,
you
yeah.
said orange. Cranberry and orange, which is fine. Simon said rum and raisin, which is obviously incorrect. And the other ones, the white things, were snowy road bites. The overriding flavour in that was ginger.
Yay.
So well done, Georgie. You did Thank well you. There. Just you got that right, Georgie. It was upmarket, not budget. So I went the other way around. You got so no, you're 4-3 up here.
Oh, awesome.
So now the next one is where it all starts to fall down.
Right.
The mince pies. You said chocolate and cherry mince pie. Simon said almond and cinnamon. It was actually slow gin was the flavour of that mince pie, which was the posh looking one. And the other one, the twist was
There's no mince in it, yeah?
It was gluten-free, so that's why it was so miserable. You said apple and you said apple and plum. Simon said damson, that classic Christmas treat. And neither of you got it right. It was the other way around. So that gluten-free one was from the upmarket supermarket, and the other one was from a budget supermarket. Dessert, again, didn't do well. The jelly was a passion fruit and orange, not brains, as you may have thought. What did you say? You said raspberry, pineapple and clementine. You just sort of named all kinds of
everything
fruits.
I could see.
Simon said tropical Christmas jelly, which, you know, is fair enough, but it still didn't give me the passion fruit answer. So no points there. And you said apple and cinnamon for the other one. The yogurt was actually mince pie flavoured yogurt.
Lies. It's all lies.
And you both got it the wrong way around. So the jelly was upmarket and the yogurt was budget.
Wow.
And finally, the booze. You just said salty caramel for basically all of it.
Yeah.
The white one was eggnog, which...
I've never had eggnog.
What's that eggnog?
It was eggnog, which is that festive American drink that we don't really have here.
Eggnog got booze in it.
It's got booze in it. Yes, it's got booze in it. Mm. And the other one, the goldy one, was creme brulee flavoured liqueur.
Sort of the same.
It's not really, actually, Georgie, you got this one the right way round. Yeah. You said the white one was budget and the gold one was upmarket, which was correct. And Simon was incorrect, which gives us Georgie winning at present. But there's one last part of the taste test.
Is this Brussels sprouts?
What was the posh supermarket?
I think the posh supermarket was M&S and the budget was Aldi.
Simon?
I think the posh supermarket was Waitrose and the budget was Lidl.
Oh, wow. Georgie, well done. M&S and Aldi was the answers. So Georgie is the undisputed queen of the taste test 2018. Your prize is Prosecco-flavoured crisps.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you very much to Lee, to Simon, to you. We're off for our Christmas break next week, but do join us in the new year. And in the meantime, if you have any questions for the team, something you'd like to cover, perhaps there's a festive food stuff that you'd like us to consider for next year, please let us know, Simon.
Yes, email us at editor@thisismoney.co.uk. Tweet us at thisismoney. Come to thisismoney.co.uk/podcast, where you can find all the podcast articles. And you can join in the comments and tell us which is really the best Christmas film and why Georgie is wrong.
It's a Wonderful Life, clearly. Then Elf, then Scrooge. That's it. Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest breaking money news. Just go to thisismoney.co.uk or download the app. And if you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes? It helps people find us. Say something nice. It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All. As all that's left for me to say is thank you very much, Simon, to Lee, to all the team at This Is Money for their brilliant reporting this year, to the folks at NS&I, and mostly to you for listening. A very, very Merry Christmas.
We love you.
All right, I think I've got some mince pie stuck in my teeth.
This Is Money, brought to you in partnership with NS&I. For a gift your little ones will appreciate even when they're not so little, give them premium bonds at nsandi.com.